The city of Prince George is rolling out its draft park strategy, and it needs your help. As part of its Talktober sessions, the city wants your input on the future of city parks. From large destination parks that can host large amounts of people, like Kleitliatene Park, or to smaller, less ambitious neighborhood playgrounds. The city wants your feedback on those kinds of parks. And Andrew Criette has been following the story, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you've been following the story for a while. Remind us of what is going on here.
Well, parks can be contentious things. People like parks, but they do cost money. And everyone has a different opinion of what they're worth and exactly which ones are worth how much. You might actually remember a few years ago, under the previous mayor and council, the parks budget in Prince George was trimmed in an effort to save money. And while people might like lower costs, they don't like it when the playground they take their kids to isn't being looked after. So there were letters to the editor and complaints to the city about equipment being broken, grass not being cut, garbage not being removed. So those cuts were reversed a little bit, and then we get back to the money issue. We're always hearing about how cities, not just Prince George, all of them around Canada really, have tightening budgets and they have a lot of demands. And so last year, the city decided to come up with a new park strategy to figure out the best way to match people's expectations with the reality of the sort of money that can actually be spent. Part one of this was putting together the inventory of what the city actually has, how many parks there are, what sort of shape they're in, what they cost to look after. Part two was getting feedback from people on the sorts of parks they like, which ones they'd like to see more of. And part three is where we're at now, the draft parks strategy.
Okay, which is what?
It's really a distillation of all these things. What we have, the parks people wish we had, the money in the budget, and some of the ideas about how best to move forward. The report itself is big. It's 176 pages long that includes some appendixes. But very early on, there's this graphic of a teeter-totter. At one end of it is the word quality, and at the other end is the word quantity. Here is Lorianne Kosek, one of the city's leads on this project, explaining why that's there.
It's a balancing act, and this whole idea that the quality of parks can be improved if the existing inventory is reduced or resources are realigned or we add to the pot.
So basically what she's saying is the city can focus on having a lot of parks, quantity, or it can focus on having a few really good parks, quality. Or I guess the third option, the city could spend more money on parks, but it depends on whether people would want to have higher taxes or less money spent on road repairs. So an interesting point there. Part of this report actually compared Prince George to two other cities of a similar size, Kamloops and Lethbridge. And what you see is that Prince George has about four times the amount of parks these other two cities do, but only one quarter of the budget to look after them. So again, one quarter of the budget to look after the parks and four times the amount of parks when comparing Prince George to Kamloops and Lethbridge. And Lorianne says that while the city was getting feedback from the public, people actually brought Kamloops up as a point of comparison quite a bit.
Often there's comparisons made to look at what Kamloops has done on their rivers. Why can't we have more of that? But herein lies the challenge. What we're faced with is there's so many competing demands for park resources. So if we're trying to replace aging infrastructure like playgrounds and neighborhood parks, we also are trying to maintain service delivery, but we have resources that are spread too thin.
Okay, so does that mean people in Prince George would actually like fewer parks?
Sort of. I mean, it's not like people were going to these feedback sessions or writing emails saying, there's too many parks, I want less of them. But when they were asked about what they would like to see more of or what their priorities are, the focus was on destination and district parks, not smaller neighborhood parks. So just to give you an idea, though, destination parks are things like Kleitliatene Park, where Canada Day or National Aboriginal Day celebrations are held. People drive in from all over the city. Or Cottonwood Island Park along the river, again, the sort of place you might make a point of coming to visit no matter where you live. District parks are kind of the next tier down. The big example is Duchess Park, the playground there. This is one that is meant to serve a section of the city, but not the whole city. People in College Heights, for example, aren't going to get a Cottonwood Island Park or Kleitliatene Park, but they might expect a large playground like Duchess for that area. So that's a priority, building more of these second-tier district parks for serving sections of the city and maintaining these larger destination parks that serve the city as a whole. But again, thinking back to that teeter-totter, you spend more money on those quality parks, you have less money for the quantity, the smaller neighborhood parks.
Okay, so where does that leave the smaller neighborhood parks then?
Well, just because they were a lower priority doesn't mean they aren't a priority at all. In fact, the city has a goal that every single house and apartment, every person in the city should live within 800 meters of a playground. This would mean that no matter where you live, you are in walking distance of a place where you can take your kid and go and play. It might be something small, it might be just like some swings, but it is there. This is, when you think about a quality of life issue, we talked about this on the show yesterday, health researchers, on how getting people outdoors and having accessibility to outdoors is a big part of community health. And so that is a goal the city has, that goal will remain in place. But to achieve it, there are some areas that might lose their playgrounds and their smaller parks because they have an oversupply. The city actually created a heat map of playgrounds and saw that there were some areas that have two or three or more playgrounds within 800 meters of them, and there were other places that had none. So they want to try to balance that out.
So you want to make sure that there's at least one good neighborhood park that has a great playground and whatever else, hard surface courts, so you can meet all those needs. But when you have all these other ones within that neighborhood, you might look at decommissioning some of the older playground equipment and not replacing it. And then the monies that you would spend on servicing those playgrounds goes to things that we need, such as trails.
And decommissioning playgrounds can actually add up to a lot of money. Lorianne told me that there are about 30 playgrounds in the city that are in need of replacement. The total cost of that, somewhere in the realm of $2.5 million. So if you let some of those playgrounds go, you have a fair chunk of change to do other things with.
Okay, now we're talking a lot about playgrounds here, but that's not the only type of park in the city.
Yeah, that's true. While people said destination playgrounds are a priority for them, there were other things they wanted more of as well. Off-leash dog parks are getting to be more in demand. Walking trails are a big one. So are riverfront parks. Thinking back to earlier this year when the city council had to have hours worth of meetings spread out over a few weeks because of development in North Nechaco and people coming out and saying they wanted land along the river set aside for parks. This was a big priority for them. And again, creating and maintaining new trails means either new money or taking money from somewhere else and spending it there if you want to build these new trails. And I should say, Prince George is not the only place having this discussion. Fort St. John is working on its first ever Parks and Recreation Master Plan. Yesterday, we heard about Prince Rupert and problems with getting public access to the ocean, the beach. This is a sort of a hyper-local issue that is playing out all over the place because it's really about what happens in your neighborhood in specific areas.
Okay, and so for people in Prince George, what do they do with this?
The city is taking feedback on the draft plan until mid-November. There are a few ways to read it and share your ideas. The city website has a place where you can download the full report and give your feedback. Or if you want, you can use an app that was created to do this as well. You can get hard copies at City Hall and at the libraries. The city will also be taking feedback at Talktober sessions. Those are the community sessions being held every Wednesday this month. So you can head to the one in College Heights tonight. There'll be one in the Heart, downtown, Blackburn area. Again, the city website, the place to find out about that. One tip I have if you're looking at this, because it is a big report, if you're really just interested in what might be happening in your neighborhood, you can skip towards the end of the report where it has planning ideas broken down by neighborhood, and you can see what could be happening within 800 meters of your house.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That's Andrew Kieter, our associate producer. Thank you very much for joining us, Andrew.
Thank you.